You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org, and you can listen online at any time. There are podcasts available as well on either wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. So if you're interested in listening to prior shows, those are the places to go. Today is July 2nd, 2014. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing up at 16,976. The NASDAQ slightly down, pretty flat at 4,457. And the S&P closed up at 1,974. Last week, we talked about going into business for yourself and what some of the important aspects of that would be. This week, we're talking about Independence Day and getting out of debt, and hopefully implementing some type of cash management program. We are live. We are here to take your questions. Judy Ann will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810 or through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. And let me also mention, if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can always give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and then I will answer it as soon as I am available to do so. So again, that number is 610-758-8810. Now, we're going to talk about some financial independence. Obviously, Independence Day is Friday, so we're all looking forward to that. And in light of that, I thought I would try to tie a topic into that theme. So, naturally, I thought about financial independence. I would say that there have probably been a number of shows that I've done in the past talking about this area. Maybe it's not titled that. It might be talking about cash flow planning or some of the various life stages that we've talked about, where we highlight the elements of financial planning, which includes budgeting, cash flow. But all of those topics come together, and when implemented and coordinated and thought upon, hopefully gives you some tools and ideas to lead you toward financial independence. So what is financial independence? It could be a different definition for each person. It may make up a number of ideologies. So first, you need to decide what financial independence means to you. I did a show back in like 2008 on this, and I would say that some of my research from back then, you know, really still applies, because these are almost lifelong issues that we all have to deal with, you know, from when we're young till when we're old. Cash flow, budgets, having to pay for things, things that we want, things that we need, are all part of life, which is why it's such a privilege for me to be able to do this show, because financial choices do have such an impact on us, on our health decisions, on our family decisions, etc. So thinking about financial independence is truly important, and it really I think, warrants some of your time and attention. And as we are going into a holiday weekend, many people like to say, you know, oh, I'm going to do it when I have time. I'm going to have time on this weekend. I'm going to have, you know, some extra time off. But what we end up finding is we find ourselves sometimes saying we also deserve some time to relax. We deserve some time to put our feet up. And of course, we all do. But at some point, this will catch up to us. So we want to make sure that we do give it the time. And one of the things I did when I was getting ready for the show is I looked up some quotes from some famous people you may have heard of, such as Benjamin Franklin. One of the things he is said to have said was, "You may delay, but time will not." You may delay, but time will not. So if you do have a little bit of extra time this holiday weekend and you haven't thought about what financial independence means to you, then I think it's a good time to do it. We did have a call come in from Ted in Bath. He said he has $60,000 in the bank. How do you recommend investing short-term, 6 months with low risk? And can you cover some options? Well, Ted, one thing's for sure, we cannot make any specific investment recommendations on this show. And that's because any good advisor will tell you that it's not as simple as answering that kind of question. There are other factors related to making investment decisions. Someone has to understand your risk tolerance. Are you someone who would be comfortable with going into the market or not? So risk tolerance, you know, would it keep you up at night? Are you worried about losing money? What other kinds of cash do you have available? What other kinds of investments do you have available? Do you have an emergency reserve? What is your time frame? Do you have 20 years, 40 years? Are you going to need this money in 2 years? So there's time frame, risk tolerance, other cash needs, other considerations. So one of the things I would mention, Ted, when you talk about looking at something for the short term, I will give you a couple ideas that we talk about for people to consider, and then you can see if it's applicable to your situation. If you were to say, for example, yes, I have my, you know, emergency reserve, I don't have any debt, you know, then you maybe would want to look at what you plan to do with the $60,000. When are you going to need it? Are you ever going to need it? And that'll help you to start refining what investment options you might have. If you find that you do have a long time horizon, you don't need the money, then you want to say, what is the goal for that money? Now, having said that, I said that's assuming like no debt. One of the first things I probably, some of the first questions I would ask you is I would ask you, do you have any emergency reserve? Typically in an emergency reserve, we're looking for 3 to 6 months of expenses that you would have, so that we'd want to cover, especially your fixed expenses. So we'd want to make sure you have an emergency reserve. We would want to make sure you don't have any other debt that's costing you more than what your investments might make. Or if that debt is, you know, a burden or could be compromised if you were to lose a job or something like that. So I would look at your debt as well. One of the things I would suggest for you is to do a financial inventory. And I really was going to kind of talk about that a little bit later in the show, but that's part of what cash management is. You need to understand what money you have, what assets you have, what liabilities you have, what they're costing you, and then also what cash flow is for you. So how are you spending your money? Again, you don't want to invest something for the short term if you think, you know, in, you know, 6 months or a year, you might have to pull that back out. It's going to weigh in on your investment decision. One other thing I will say is, if you are working and you have earned income and you're eligible for something called a Roth IRA, that is simply an account to put money in, not actually invest in particular investments. So if someone opens a Roth IRA, that's just a a holding place for your investments, you still would have to go through all those other questions I was asking, your risk tolerance. Then you have to look if you're someone who's has moderate risk, aggressive, or if you're preservation. And then based on knowing that, you would look to see what kind of allocation to bonds and stock, and then maybe even some alternative strategies. And then within those categories, you further break it down in stocks. What are you looking at? Large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, domestic, and in bonds, do you look for government, high yield, municipal? So there are so many decisions that go in this. That's why we can't make any kind of investment recommendations on the radio, on the air. So Ted, I hope that it at least helps you to know that it's not a simple answer and that you have to do a little homework first. And maybe through the rest of the show, we can help you find out what kind of homework needs to be done. We're ready for our first break. If you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Thank you, Ted, for calling in. I appreciate it. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Thank you, Jeff. You are listening to Your Financial Choices with your host, Lori Siebert. We did have a call come in from Ted, and Ted had asked about investing short-term. And I do see now, Ted, I apologize, Judy Ann did write down 6 months. So when we looked at the time frame, I would especially be careful with a six-month time frame. So sometimes people will look at, short-term CDs, things that are guaranteed at the bank. You know, you have your FDIC insurance. So you just really need to explore a number of options. But with a short term, like 6 months, then you really have to be careful. But I would definitely look at some of what else you have going on in your financial life as to whether or not you have loans and what those are costing you, debt, that kind of thing. Okay, so tonight we're talking about financial independence. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air or off air, whatever you're most comfortable with. If you're off air, Judy Ann will bring the question into the studio and I'll do my best to answer it. So as I had mentioned, I had done a show on financial independence back in 2008. I had gone back and looked to see, you know, what I had said then to see if anything really had changed. It was because of all the things that went on in 2008. It was very interesting what the idea of financial independence was. And I personally think it should be each person's own idea of that. I would be someone who would be very happy to just, you know, sit in my backyard and watch the birds or sit at the beach and look at the water. And other people, what they're going to do in their retirement and in their spare time looks very, very different than that. It could be traveling all over the world. So financial independence is a little bit of working toward a goal of not having to rely maybe on a job, possibly rely on parents. So financial independence can mean various things to different people. Some of the things I had found back in 2008, financial independence means the ability to manage your money in such a way that you have sufficient funds to live your chosen lifestyle without assistance from others. So that was one. In other words, enough money to meet all your needs, whether you work or not. Another one had said, freedom occurs when you're completely free of debt. So freedom from financial reliance on creditors. That was some financial independence. No mortgage, no student loans, no car payments. So that could be one. a website that is still around called getrichslowly.org. Getrichslowly.org had said financial independence has nothing to do with rich. Financial independence is the experience of having enough and then some. So that was another little take. Now, interestingly, looking at that website today, one of the things I had found talking about financial independence had referenced saving 50% of your money, or better yet, 70%. Now, I don't know how many of us could do that today. And using little rules of thumb, like having 25 times what you currently spend in savings, those are really, really some big numbers. But just as we were talking to Ted earlier, sometimes, folks, you have to remember in what framework you're talking about and what applies to you and what information you're taking in. So we can read things, we can hear things, but you have to make sure that whatever you're doing and what your goals are work for you. The reason I would say that, if I had just said to someone what I had read, having 25 times what you currently spend in savings, if we find out that you're someone who has a pension coming in of $70,000 a year, and you and your spouse each have $20,000 of Social Security coming in a year, now we're talking 40 and 70 is $110,000, that rule of thumb might not apply to you. So we have to keep in mind that no matter what we're reading in the financial news, financial literature, so many times that information has to be generalized for reasons which could be regulatory, could be compliance. But the information sometimes has to be so general that while you're being informed, while you're getting information, you have to understand that it still may apply to you very different. You are an individual. Your story is different than the next person's. Your set of circumstances is different than the next person. So you want to make sure that, again, what financial independence means to you is one thing. You have your goal, and then how you're going to get there may be a very different path. So let's talk about what it means to have a goal. So the first step for you is to understand what those goals might be. So for example, the first stage of financial independence for a young person might be becoming independent of their parents. So that might be financially independent for them, might be able to afford an apartment and public transportation, and you could feel financially independent. So goals we set for that, maybe we want to graduate from college, get a job, pay off student loans, or find independent housing. Financial independence from creditors might be another goal for some people, and that could occur for probably any stage from kids coming out of college with student loans to, you know, that wonderful day when people pay off their mortgage and now own their home free and clear. So independence from creditors could feel, give us that feeling of financial independence. So if it's independence from creditors, what kind of goals would we have? Well, we might make a plan to have our debts paid off in, let's say, 10 years, 15 years. Maybe we have car loans, student loans, and maybe a mortgage. And maybe the cost of the mortgage is the lowest of our debt. Maybe the car is the shortest of our debt. So we want to say, okay, I could pay off the car, let's say, in 3 years, and then I'd be done with that. But maybe it's not costing as much as our student loan. So maybe we want to pay extra on our student loan. It might be a longer period of time. So you want to have a plan. If you have your goal to be free of creditors, you want to have a plan for how are you going to tackle that. Once you have a goal and you see it and you pay attention to it and you work toward it, chances are you have a higher likelihood of success. One comment that I had mentioned back then was independence from consumerism. And I thought that was quite powerful. I know myself in my younger years, I just, you know, love, you know, knickknacks and little, you know, themed things. When I was in high school, I loved the Snoopy, you know, characters and everything. So I was buying all of that stuff. Just loved it. And it was something that gave you like a little hobby, kind of an activity. But really, in the end, what did I need any of that for? So one of your goals for financial independence could be just becoming aware of how you spend and catching yourself. So if you need to wean yourself off some of your habits, then make that one of your goals as well. So kind of independence from consumerism, I think in the end would help us all save more. And we're going to talk about how saving is going to help you become financially independent as well. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY. And you are welcome, if you have questions, to call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Questions could also be submitted through the website, Your Financial Choices. We are talking about financial independence. We have July 4th coming up on Friday, Independence Day. Always a lovely day, very patriotic. Hopefully people will have some nice plans and reflect on our forefathers and all of the smart people who built this great country and gave us all these great things to rely on, like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and things like that. I do have some quotes from Benjamin Franklin in particular, because I find him the most interesting with the quotes, probably because he was a prolific writer. But he said one of the things when we're talking about financial independence and saving, he says, "He that goes a borrowing goes a sorrowing." So you borrow and you have sorrow because you're forever like paying things back. And interestingly, I had mentioned this in a show probably several weeks ago. I had watched a presentation Warren Buffett had done to some high school students. And he said, if you don't have to take debt, don't. Your goal is to come out of school without debt, basically. And that's paraphrasing him. But I think that he would also tell you probably the path to his riches were that he was a careful spender and didn't overspend. So we talked about the road to financial independence is first understanding what financial independence means to you. If you take some time to reflect on what that means, you know, I will hear people talk about, you know, I want a really big house. And someone else might say, I want a car, a fancy car. Someone else might say, I want to travel the world. So financial independence is also recognizing what you would like to do, but also recognizing how much might you need. Do we need things? Are we buying quality experiences, or are we buying things? So take some time this holiday weekend and think about what financial independence means to you. Then set some goals. What are your goals and how are you going to tackle it and get there? But also, as part of that, let's think about and be aware of how we're spending money. And one of the best ways to get on that road for financial independence is spending less than we make. Then we begin to accumulate. So when we accumulate, we invest and save for that future independence, from our creditors, from our employers, from our parents. How do we get here? Sometimes these concepts seem to be too easy, but common sense says if it makes sense, why not employ it on a daily basis? So we get busy. We take time to plan our trips. We take time to plan Saturday nights. We take time to exercise, maybe. We take time to work. We really need to first set time aside to pay attention to our financial life, because it does impact every facet of our life. Okay, so let's talk about some of those things. So the goals. Setting up goals, spending less than you earn. Pay yourself first means, of course, you know, you do have to take care of some of those expenses, those fixed expenses you have. But you also, paying yourself first is making sure that you're saving something and putting something aside. And small amounts do matter. If the more you can save, of course, the better. But even starting small, getting started, you're doing something. You're empowering yourself. You're moving forward. One of the things I have talked about in order to get your arms around this is doing a financial inventory. Now, if you go to yourfinancialchoices.com, I believe we have the lifetime planning worksheet there. That is what I would call a financial inventory. It's also available on a website, myretirementpro.com. And you look for a worksheet. So with this worksheet, it's basically an Excel spreadsheet for those people who like Excel. For people who aren't comfortable with Excel, you can print it out. And it's basically taking a picture of where you are today. So you track all your assets, write all your assets down, write down all your liabilities. But it's more than just that. It's also writing down what those assets are. Are they earning something for you? For example, your house. It might be appreciating at 1%. It might be appreciating at 2%, depending on where you are. Or you might now recognize, gosh, we bought this house 15 years ago. It's not appreciating the way it used to. It's not in good shape. Maybe you bought an older house. Maybe you're not going to make the money on it that you thought you would, or you're not going to get what you paid for it. You need to recognize that, because if you now start kind of taking stock of what you have, it might help you make a decision. Maybe, do we stay in this house, or would it be worth it for us to get out of this house if we see that it's not going to continue to appreciate? What other assets do we have? You know, do we have all of our money in bank accounts? Is that working for us? Do we have all of our money in bonds? Do we have all of our money in stock? Is that working for us? Is that still good? How has our situation changed from when the last time we might have done the inventory? When we talk about setting the goals for financial independence, unless you continue to check back to them, how do you know if you're making progress? So with the inventory, you're going to take stock of the assets and how they're working for you, and the liabilities and how much they're costing you. And maybe you have a mortgage, and maybe the mortgage is at the rate is at 3.5%, and maybe you just have a couple years left on it. That's very different than a mortgage with 6.5% and 10 years left or 15 years left. When you see that picture, that's when you would say to yourself, okay, is it time that I analyze whether or not this mortgage is still working for me? Is it still good? Is it still in our financial plan? Can I do better? Is there still an opportunity for me to refinance? Could I have the same payment with a lower rate and finish this mortgage up a lot quicker. There are also calculators on MyRetirementPro.com, calculators for, you know, paying off a mortgage, and you can sit and play with different options and scenarios. Same thing with, I think, like inflation rates, and it kind of starts to give you an idea of the power in addressing some of these situations as far as how much money you could save by maybe going to a shorter term loan or a lower rate loan and how you're having your money work for you. All right. So tonight we're talking about financial independence. I'm just kind of throwing out some ideas, basically. If you have questions, you're welcome to give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I actually have to tell you, I'm texting my brother. My brother just texted me a beautiful picture of a raspberry pie, a red raspberry pie that he made for my mother. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I talk about my mother all the time because I love her. And it's a red raspberry pie, and it says Mom with a heart on it. And he said to me, I bet you've never made a red raspberry pie like this one. And I said, no, it's beautiful, but please tell Mom it's my birthday present for her and that I asked you to make it. So sorry that my little sidebar there. That kind of also goes to what we're talking about when we're looking at financial independence and what makes people happy. You know, we can make presents for each other. We don't have to buy expensive things. We can have experiences. That's the word I was looking for earlier. We can have experiences that might add as much value to our lives as what we think buying things would do. So let me get back for a moment to looking or talking about the financial inventory or the lifetime planning worksheet, which is another way to look at it, which you can find on Your Financial Choices. Let me mention the phone number again, too. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. 610-758-8810. So when you're looking toward financial independence, as I said, that could mean anything to any one of us. So you want to make sure that you have defined that for you. What is financial independence for you? Some people like to work and will continue to work, and they don't care about being financially independent. They might care about living a full life and enjoying themselves and using their, you know, talents to the extent that they can. So financial independence doesn't always mean that we're working just to stop working, you know. So keep that in mind as well. Define financial independence for yourself. Set your goals. Look at what your spending is, and then move from there about getting financially independent. So most of us think being financial independence does revolve around, you know, money and that day that we get to retire and having enough that we can retire without having to go back to work. One of the things we want to understand is what kind of cash flow we might expect in retirement. You want to factor that in when you're trying to determine how much assets you're going to need as well to generate income to supplement what you have in retirement. Remember in my example at the beginning of the show, I had said on one website, it had said that you should save 25 times what you spend. Well, that doesn't necessarily factor in if you have other resources coming in like pensions, retirement accounts, or pension plans, Social Security, that type of thing. So by doing that financial inventory, I talked about knowing what assets you had and what liabilities you have and how much those liabilities cost you. It's also important to know how long you're going to have those liabilities, because if financial independence to you is being able to retire at some point, if you have a mortgage that's a 30-year mortgage and you're 60 years old, you have to make sure that you're going to be able to pay your 30-year mortgage from 60 years old till 90 years old. So you need to take this picture of what you have. Also then, look at your cash flow. Look at what the money coming in is, but also understand what the cash flow out is. So when we're talking about cash flow out, we have to remember what we're spending today might not be what we're spending in retirement, and how are things going to shift. So for example, if today I have three kids in the house, and I'm, you know, spending on transportation, I'm spending on clothing, I'm spending on food, I have to recognize that in my retirement, some of those types of expenses might kind of go down. But at the same time, you know, if you're banking on that today and you make plans for that, and maybe you think, I don't have to save so much because I won't have those expenses when I retire, you have to stop and reflect and say, yeah, but what else am I going to have in my retirement? Well, guess what? Maybe the kids are out of the house, but that house is now been run aground from those kids in the house. All of a sudden you have, you know, to paint, you have to fix the appliances. Maybe you want to replace the furniture that's been worn out, replace floors. So all of a sudden expenses that you had when the kids were home may just get replaced with expenses that you now have in maybe some home maintenance. And then once you get through that, maybe a few years, get everything spruced up and fixed up, well, maybe now if you're going to retire, you might have to factor in that you're going to have healthcare expenses. Are they going to be higher than what you were currently incurring? So not only do you have to take an inventory of what you have today, and of course your expenses today, but then kind of project out a little bit about, might those expenses change? Might your situation change? Okay. Folks, let me give you the phone number again. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. When we talk about financial independence, you also might want to think about whether to set up some type of cash management program. And how would you do that? What I would say here is you really need to make sure that whatever you set up, it's a plan that you can follow yourself. There are people who just love Excel spreadsheets. There are people who love budgeting programs like Quicken. There are people who love online programs. I have people who've told me they use envelopes. Whatever works for you is what you need to implement. And if what you're doing now isn't working, then you need to look for an alternative. You know, one of the cautions I have for people who use debit cards is it's just so easy, like, not to pay attention to what's going on with them. At least with credit cards, you do get a monthly statement and it shows where you've spent. I don't believe people get that with their debit cards. I don't have a debit card. It's to me almost as bad as cash, which is one of the reasons I don't like carrying cash, because I can't keep track of that really. So you have to know yourself. You have to know what your, you know, how disciplined you are as far as your spending habits. Because if your goal is to save more money, the way to do it is to be aware of what you're spending and what you have coming in. So you definitely want to come up with a system. A basic system that we talk about with people is if you first at least take some time to try to understand your cash flow, which I've mentioned is on that lifetime planning worksheet or that inventory. If you understand what your cash in and your expenses out are, you should have an idea of what you're spending on average per month over a year's time. So if you know that you spend $3,000 a month, what you could do, and this is a very simple way to do some budgeting if nothing else is working for you because it's too complicated, what you would do is you would have all your resources go into a savings account. So let's pretend you work, maybe your spouse works or your children work or your partner works. The income that's coming into the household that are sharing expenses, the income comes into a savings account. And let's say that income coming in is $4,000. And we know that we spend $3,000 a month. $3,000 a month then gets transferred to a checking account. We're writing checks out of the checking account. So in theory, if I'm transferring $3,000 a month to the checking account and I'm writing checks out for $3,000 a month, my checking account each month should work out pretty even. You know, in, out, in, out. What we would hope to see then is that the savings account where all the money came in would start to accumulate and you'd start to see that build up. If you don't have emergency reserves already, this could be the start of your emergency reserve account. If you find at the end of each month you're dipping into your savings, that means you've spent more than the $3,000. That means you're spending more than you thought you were. You thought you had a budget of $3,000 a month. Maybe you're spending more if you're dipping in and dipping in. That means you really haven't been as disciplined as you would need to be to meet your goals, your financial independence, whatever those goals might be. If that money starts to accumulate in your checking account, maybe you're spending less than what you thought. That's good. You could periodically move that money back over to the savings account. Remember, building up the emergency reserve. And then after that's taken care of, you want to make sure you take care of any outstanding debt. And then when that's taken care of, you want to make sure that you're also taking opportunities to invest for your future and your retirement and things like that. I've done shows on retirement planning, so you can listen to old podcasts on that. We definitely like people to save in retirement accounts. It can give you some tax deferral. It can give you some employer matching if that's available. So I don't want you to think I'm not addressing that. That's another show. Right now, we're just kind of talking about some of the things you need to pay attention to when you're looking at a goal toward financial independence. It all starts with having that goal for yourself, the definition of what that looks like, what the goal for that is, the steps to get there, and how you're going to do it in an easy enough way for you to make it happen. So take some time to think about what it means. Start setting it up. Understand your assets, your liabilities, your cash flow. Understand with what I just talked about, that method of depositing all the money into your savings account and then moving over once a month your expenses. Keep in mind that sometimes our expenses aren't always evenly through the year, each month the same. So the month that the real estate tax bill comes due, your expenses might not be $3,000 a month that month. Remember, I talked about an average. So make sure that you kind of have built that flexibility in there, but don't let it get out of control. Be really, really aware. I also would say, as I mentioned about debit cards, I think being a little bit of a danger. Cash, I said, also might be a little bit of a danger. On the other hand, if, remember I said you have to know yourself. We're all individuals. You have to make sure that you are controlling yourself, you know, as well.
if you're someone who has trouble with credit cards, then maybe cash is the thing for you to carry, because you shouldn't carry a credit card if you can't pay for the item. So you don't want to build up balances in credit cards. I personally like credit cards because I get credits and, you know, rewards and things like that. But we also pay off our credit card every month. It's like not an option for us. It's just something we do. Ever since the day we got rid of credit card debt, however long ago, 25 years ago, we don't have credit card debt. So you want to make sure you get in the habit of paying off your credit card. If you're someone who can't do that, or you find that you think that's free money, recognize that it's not. And maybe you're not someone who a credit card would work for. Maybe you are someone that cash would work better for. And that's when you maybe consider that envelope option that I mentioned. Many people have told me they use envelopes and they put, you know, going out to eat or entertainment in one envelope, and maybe they give themselves, you know, $50 a week. If that's what's going to work for you, that's what you do. When we come back from this last break, we'll kind of wrap things up. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:46 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810 or through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So that is 610-758-8810. We're talking about financial independence. What that means to you, number one, what that means to you, you figure out what that means. Number two, set a goal, maybe a plan, a cash management plan with your goal. How are you going to get there? Whether it is to start by paying off debt, and then after that debt is paid off, then you start to accumulate. And number three, making sure you understand what you do have. So understand what financial independence means to you, have some goals, set up a cash management plan, and make sure that you understand what applies to you, and then implementing strategies that are going to work for you and be doable for you. And what might work for somebody else might be very different for you. So if envelopes work for you, use them. If Excel spreadsheets work for you, use it. The point is, once you start doing something, it will be the impetus, the catalyst to do more. It really gets exciting when you start to see the compounding of good decisions. It's just really, really empowering. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I also had seen an article on Forbes website, Forbes.com, where they talked about basically financial independence as well. And they talked about making sure that you understand what's coming in, what's going out, and that it's an active process. I thought that that was really powerful, to make sure that you understand that it is an active process. You're an active participant in it. And then they talked about knowing the components of the income that you have. I've talked about that as well on prior shows. Know what kind of income that is coming in, the taxation of it, because one of the other items of, you know, your financial decisions and education and independence is taking advantage of all of the kind of planning opportunities that are available to you through maybe tax deferral by putting money in retirement accounts, or tax deductions or tax credits. All of that also helps your bottom line. So being aware of the components of income, how they're taxed, the taxes themselves, what your fixed expenses are. We've talked about that on prior shows. Fixed expenses are a little harder to get away from than discretionary expenses. And for people who really have a hard time budgeting, that was one other option I had, is to make sure that you're budgeting your discretionary expenses. If you make sure you take care of your fixed expenses, and then rather than falling into what economics basically would tell you, which is we spend what we have, you could, instead of spending what you have left over, take some of your extra money and again put it away, save it. And that's the final item in the Forbes article that they talked about. So savings. If you had an opportunity to listen to any of the prior shows we've done, one of the things we had run was a series on different stages of your financial life. If you weren't able to catch those, they are available on the podcast on WDIY.org under the programming. You can search for that or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. That series, really, I loved doing that series. I mean, to me, it just kind of went through that whole process. And for the listeners and for, you know, your family members, we're all at different stages in our financial life. So again, sometimes young people don't think parents get it. And sometimes parents don't think their kids get it. And our grandparents really don't think any of us get it. So one thing that I enjoyed doing through that process, through that series of shows, was trying to recognize the different stages that we are all at, but also how they apply to the different elements of financial planning. So looking at the cash flow, the investments, the retirement accounts, your estate planning, your risk management, all of those pieces put together is really, kind of giving you more advantages when you understand how they all work together. So that should be part of this process as well. And you'll get there and see that and be so enlightened when you do a financial inventory of your assets and your liabilities and your cash flow. With that, I also suggest that folks also do an inventory of their risk management, because one of the things that we would hate to see as you're working towards your financial independence is that you forgot to take care of some of the risk that we have going along the way. So if you're very busy working toward financial independence and you didn't make sure that you had maybe the life insurance to cover the mortgage in the event a spouse dies, or you didn't get the proper auto insurance or the proper homeowner's insurance or flood insurance or sinkhole insurance, then all of those efforts you put into working toward financial independence may be for naught. So part of any good review of your financial life or efforts towards financial independence really involves looking at all of the elements of financial planning and how they all work together. So keep that in mind as well. So use a system that's going to work for you. So awareness of what you have, using a system that will work for you. As I said, envelopes, Excel spreadsheets, Quicken, things like that. Calculators are fun to play with. Again, those are available on a number of websites that you could explore. Calculators that kind of give you an idea of how much you might save by lowering your interest rate on your mortgage, by refinancing, maybe changing the time period. It really can be quite powerful. Which loans should you pay off first, you know, higher cost loans, things like that. So do what you need to do to make this all work for you. So one of the other items that I had seen on the Get Rich Slowly website was, he had said, money is more about mind than it is about math. So again, it's what we put our mind to. George Washington had a quote, and I'm hoping all these quotes were valid, because I just kind of Googled quotes of Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. But he said, had to have said, it is better to offer no excuse than a bad one. So when we talk about our financial lives and what we've done or what we haven't done, are we making up excuses for ourselves? You know, we get busy, we're tired, we don't have time to do this kind of thing. So we want to make sure that we're not making excuses for ourselves and we're being proactive in what we're doing. Remember, as it said on Forbes, it's an active process. We had a call come in from Bill, and he said, is there a reputable debt consolidation company? So what he had said was he has a lot of credit card debt, recently chose a company to help relieve some of that debt. I have three cards maxed out. I gave them all that information. Then I saw bad press that the company didn't pay the debt of their customers. He called them and they said that was old and it was resolved. Well, Bill, I hope that that was, I hope that's accurate. One of the, I don't have a specific name of a debt consolidation company. I get nervous about that. I get nervous about that for people who are trying to get their arms around this. I do know of a nonprofit organization called Money Management International, and I believe their website is moneymanagement.org, and I'd have to double check that, but it's, if you Google Money Management International, it is a nonprofit organization that helps people work through debt management, cash management. I do believe there may be some options for debt consolidation with them, so you'd want to check on that. But what impressed me is that they were a nonprofit. They have offices, I think, throughout the country. One of them is in the Lehigh Valley. I believe it's in Whitehall. And it used to be Lehigh County. Let me see. Credit counseling, I think. Lehigh County Credit Counseling or something like that. So it was an organization that we were familiar with. Now it's been so many years, I've forgotten the original name. But Money Management International might be something you want to check out. I did have someone from their home office on the show years ago. I don't know if that podcast is even available on the website because it's probably been too long. But Bill, I hope that if you check that out, Money Management International, give them a call. They might have information on the company that you may have already engaged, that debt consolidation company. So you want to see if they know anything about it or if they have any options for you. Sometimes, too, you may be able to even call the credit card company yourself to see if they would be willing to work with you. The other thing you might want to do is check out your credit through the credit reports that are available to you annually through Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. So I've asked Jeff this question so many times, he has it off the top of his head. So sometimes you want to print that off and see what that's looking like too. And then shy of that, Bill, it sounds like you're trying to get your arms around this. You know, one of the other things we talked about is not spending as much as you make. That's one way to save. You also may have some control over your cash flow. You didn't indicate what caused this issue to happen. Sometimes we run into a pickle, we lose a job, we have medical expenses, there's a repair on a car or something like that that happens. The goal is to not have it happen because you were buying things. So if that was the issue, you know, you're aware of it now. You're doing something about it, and keep going. It's quite empowering. Keep going. Get it handled, taken care of. It's all about awareness, being aware, and, you know, live
live within your means to the extent you can. And if you, you know, can't afford where you're living, not this isn't you, Bill, this is in general. For people who can't afford where they're living, maybe you could get a roommate. For people who can't afford a car, public transportation. I took the bus for years. It worked out for me. So try to look outside your box, see what else is available. I've seen people do it. Real quick, I had someone who was making $130,000 a year, had a fantastic job, company car. They had about $300,000 in savings. They lost their job. And you know what? They managed. They made it through. I get emotional about it. This is someone who took the bull by the horns and jumped in and said, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of it. Cut expenses drastically, changed careers, did everything. It was just a real success story. So anyone can do it. You just got to put your mind to it. Thanks, listeners, for calling in. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. Happy Independence Day to everyone. Next week, we're going to talk about losing or changing jobs, a checklist of important items to consider. Remember to stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Happy 4th of July. Have a great week.